I have a pretty good computer now.
Yay, you've joined the glorious PC gaming master race.
Yes, I'm Oculus Rift ready. I don't have an Oculus Rift, but boy, am I ready.
Baby steps.
Boy, am I ready. But yeah, that's nice. You know. PC. It's funny because like my PC was already better than the like PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Now it's like
really better.
Now it's like, whoa, what am I? You think that place you buy that PlayStation 4.5 stuff?
I do.
Microsoft like
said no. Well,
basically kind of they didn't just say no, but they kind of said that's a dumb idea.
But they said they want to do like modular add-ons when they first talked about it. Not like a new 0.5 system. Boy, this intro got serious.
Let's just start the show. Podcast being recorded pretty late on this lovely April 8th, 2016.
Lovely. It's cold and it's going to snow 1 to 3 inches tonight.
I was in San Francisco earlier and it was nice and warm there. But,
sure.
It's getting really going to snow again. Hi.
Yeah, 1 to 3 inches tonight. April.
I'm going to be spending most of this weekend playing Bravely Second anyways for review. I got to get to that before the embargo's up. Ugh. But, also, not going to be able to talk about that, so sorry.
Whoops.
There's a bunch of things we want to talk about, kind of like the Rogue One trailer. AJ's been playing the broken Quantum Break.
Sure.
But, you know, our topic is a little history. We're going to kind of go through each generation and talk about our favorite couch co-op games from dying art these days, eh?
Yes. Much to the chagrin of many a Halo 5 player.
Especially as you become PC master racist. That's not... Racist was not the word.
No, don't racers? Use that word.
PC Ma- What do you call the PC Master Race guys?
Members of the PC Master Race.
PC Master Racers.
No, don't call them Master Racers.
There's no good way. Okay. Master Racers might be appropriate, to be fair. Okay, so yeah. Let's start with NES.
Yeah.
Was there even a multi-tap for the NES? Was there a way to play
before
it was
two
not?
Two players was it.
Okay. Favorite call games for NES. When I... Ones that immediately come to mind: Gauntlet, Contra, and Chippendales Rescue.
Chippendales was the one that was at the forefront of my mind.
Fun, yeah.
In fact, it's a little shorter because we're on the only one system. I am trying to think, like what
else besides? Like, there was like the original Barman was on NES, right?
No, TurboGrafx.
Was it? No, I don't know.
That's where it started.
I feel like there's a Bomberman on the NES. I'm going to let that up.
Going into this, I was having a hard time thinking of anything that beats Chippendale Rescue Rangers in my head, really.
Contra was pretty quintessential. Contra's the problem was it was so hard, especially when you were a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like other weird stuff that we didn't really play, like Ikari Warriors. I mean, there's a lot of like shooters where there's like just two people because why
not? Yeah. But I mean, the other one I would think of maybe would be Bubble Bobble. So we played a shit ton of Bubble Bobble
was great, yeah. But basically, yeah, it's kind of this all just two-player co-op-y things.
Right. So I think I'd have to go with Chippendale Rescue Rangers' mind for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
I guess. I mean, part of me wants to say Contra, even though I actually like Chippendale Rescue Rangers more, but I maybe respect Contra more.
That's fair. The fun thing about Contra is when you were just playing with a buddy and didn't care, you just do the Konami code and just play forever till you beat it. That was fun.
Yeah, original Bomberman came out for the NES.
Huh.
Look at that cover art. It's kind of serious. I wish you guys could see this.
That looks like the Bomberman X-Zero cover.
It was inspired by this thing. So moving on. Super Nintendo is kind of the age of the multi-tap, right?
No
one had it.
Genesis, didn't it have a six-player tap?
Did it?
I believe so.
Again, but nobody had these things. And basically the only... Whenever I think of the multi-tap, the first thing I think of is Bomberman. That was like the reason for
it. I'm trying to think what else was like... Three or four player on those systems.
I don't think Mario Kart didn't even support them.
No. It was just two player.
Yeah, it's basically Bomberman back then. But I mean, besides that, the big co-op games in that era were probably Mario Kart.
Co-op, but
you know what I mean.
Couch multiplayer.
Well, when we're saying couch, I mean, if we're just saying couch in general, then you get Street Fighter 2 and
Mortal Kombat. Yeah, I'm trying to leave like fighting games out of this.
Why? They're viable.
I guess.
I mean, just once I said them now, you get the idea going forward that all the fighting games that came out at the time, yeah, sure. But I mean, Street Fighter 2 and Mortal Kombat kind of stand out.
But I would still say, for us personally, a lot of Sonic the Hedgehog got played with Tails as the co-op partner.
Yeah, it's a very loose kind of co-op, isn't it?
Right, but it was kind of good for, like, the... And no, don't take this from it. The little brother co-op.
It was.
Like, I want to play Sonic, and you won't leave me like, here, be Tails.
Right, yeah. You're not wrong. It did kind of make sense that way. You don't see a whole lot of that, like, the helper friend. Nintendo would do it kind of with, like, stuff on the Wii, or, like, with, like, the Game Boy Advance Link cable.
Or even, like, Mario Galaxy. Like, here, take the Wii remote and grab Star Bits.
Right, and I'll play the real game. Basically, Tails was the most helped during boss fights because he was just like this invincible other Sonic.
Right,
and it was the only time Sonic was forced to stand still.
Uh-huh.
So it was like, Tails like, I can help now. Or like, Tails can help
time
Cheese.
To shine.
Right.
Well, in 3, he could actually pick up Sonic and fly and stuff.
It was funny, I watched the Sonic 3 and Knuckles speedrun not too long ago, and it's very funny how like the Tails plays into it, because it's just like certain times where like you need to wait for Tails to like kind of fly you somewhere or to cheese something or another. It's very funny how like they were working. It's funny because these two guys, they must have been brothers, looked exactly like, because like they're usually speedrun's very respectful because they're brothers. They're like a bit more comfortable, like, where are you, what are you doing?
That's funny.
If you ever want to see a good speedrun, look up the Sonic.
There we go. Like, that's how we're gonna make our name.
Yeah, that's, I thought about that. Me and AJ, we're like the world's best Sonic 3 speedrunner. But I was fucking Tails. Of course.
That would be pretty amazing.
God damn it. But I mean, yeah, even still at this time, like, yeah, it was funny because, like, the idea of Couch Co-op, there was nothing else.
Well, yeah, there was no alternative. That was multiplayer, so.
That's why the next generation it's most interesting for a couple reasons. First off, we're starting to get PC online gaming with stuff like Quake, Counter-Strike, Team Fortress 2, and then, you know, N64 is the first system to have four...
built in.
Right.
But at the same time, Dreamcast is what introduced online multiplayer to the consoles.
Yeah, but Dreamcast is the next generation. We're going generation at a time.
Well, Dreamcast falls in a weird place. But yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. It is.
But I feel like...
Saturn had a modem, didn't it?
Saturn had an adapter, because everyone liked Saturn Bomberman. That was the best one. That was 10 players.
Yeah, that was 10 players. That was rad.
But it's funny, because, I mean, I don't really think of very many Saturn co-op games. I mean, there's, like, a stall and weird stuff. PlayStation 1, I don't think of anything but competition games, like race, like Jet Moto and fighting games. Nintendo 64, having those four controller ports, that, like, defined that system.
And, I mean, the two big ones, obviously, were GoldenEye and Mario Kart.
What on Mario Kart? Mario Party?
Yeah.
It's so funny how, like, done everyone is with Mario Party. And
back then?
Well, now, it's funny, because I was talking about how I plugged back all my old systems in, and I had 3 friends here. We all played Mario Party 2 the other day. I was having so much fun.
Oh, sure.
It's like, before they really kind of messed up with it, it's like, the point, the new one, where, like, you all move together, like, you don't move, it's like...
They overthink it.
Well, it's feature creep. It's, like, ridiculous,
exactly.
Right? Especially with something like... But, like, back then, I remember playing Mario Party 1, it was, like, the most fun, cool, crazy kind of, like...
Oh, because there's nothing like it.
Right. And, again, that was kind of, like, so much of... This was, like, look, this four-player... Even just, like, Star Fox dogfighting was cool.
Yeah.
Just weird things.
I will say, right now, if I was gonna play one thing online from that generation, or not online, couch co-op, it would be Mario Kart 64.
See,
I loved Mario Kart 64.
Recently. I do not like Mario Kart 64. Comparatively, I would take...
To other Mario Karts, you mean?
Yes.
Well, yeah, but I mean, at that time, in that
generation, I would take
that or GoldenEye.
I didn't like GoldenEye back then. Everyone gets mad at me. I did not like GoldenEye then. I don't like GoldenEye now. Never quite got it. It's just, a weird, awkward mess in these weird, like...
Blurry, singular textured
areas. And I just never liked it. Especially, like, you know, not to be a brat, we had a decent PC. I knew what Quake looked like.
Yeah.
I mean, for good fuck's sake, Half-Life 1 came out that same year. Like, people forget that. People are like, well, oh, it was a product of its time. Like, even at that time, Half-Life 1 was out. This, like, rich narrative experience that, like, looked pretty good. It was, like, GoldenEye.
Well, and don't forget, you were playing Half-Life 1 at least at 800 by 600 resolution, maybe 1024 by 768,
right,
or 1280 by 1040 if you're nuts. GoldenEye, I believe, rendered at 320 by 240.
And then you're splitting the screen four ways after that.
So
GoldenEye, Perfect Dark, mean nothing to me.
Yeah, but...
I actively dislike them.
Well, Perfect Dark was the first game to ever make me motion sick.
Oh my god.
I couldn't play it.
Memory pack.
With the memory pack.
Yeah.
Something about that game made me nauseous.
Just because... stupid. I always
But anyway, I'm putting my chips on Mario Kart 64 for that generation.
I'd rather do Mario Party.
I do love me some Astal.
I'd rather say the F-Zero for the 64 wasn't bad. Here, I got a bunch of this shit right here.
I was gonna say what else?
Pokemon Puzzle League. That's we're a good playing it tonight,
by the way.
What?
You gotta play that tonight before you leave.
I got Mario Party 3. 1080 snowboarding, man. There's GoldenEye. Fuck you. Pokemon Stadium, man. But yeah, that's what. But we want to even though like the two best games from Nintendo 64, I really don't think you can argue the point. Are you know Mario 64 and Ocarina of Time? Maybe you know you can put Majora's Mask up there. When I think of Nintendo 64, I still mostly think of like those four-player co-op games that really define that system.
Yeah.
And then
and we got the four-player port generation on every system but the PlayStation 2.
Yeah, they were very
In fact, remember when we got the PS2 for Christmas? Dad got us all a controller, but he didn't know you needed a multi-tap. So we're like,
and that was like the weird, and like that again kind of defined that system in a way where it didn't have very many multiplayer like. More like with non-competitive multiplayer games. It had a lot of fighting games, a lot of racing games, like and stuff, but not like party games at all. Like you had Monkey Ball on GameCube was like a launch title that had just like a lot of these like fun mini games that are crazy. Again, Mario Kart Double Dash, that was like my favorite Mario Kart for the time. Was crazy, and that was just so different. Like you could have four players, and it but like with two cars, like
a 2-on-2 thing. It was so weird. Yeah, it was awesome.
It was neat. They're doing just weird stuff like that. The Dreamcast. Had like Power Stone 2.
Power Stone was awesome.
Power Stone 2 was
Choo Choo Rocket.
Choo Choo Petri? It is amazing how that system was around for 2 years and it has like classic after classic.
Yeah.
That system was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Did Phantasy Star Online had local split screen, didn't it?
Maybe it did. We kind of consider that an online thing. But I mean, just, and again, I know we didn't want to bring up all these like. Soul Calibur.
And we didn't say it for the 64, but we should for the GameCube with Smash Brothers.
Oh, yeah. Well, again, fighting. Yeah, but, man.
But honestly, for me, though, especially because of where I was in college in a dorm, Halo, split screen.
That was a big
deal. Then system linked. So you had, like, a LAN party with a console for the first time, 16 people on four Xboxes.
It's so funny how Halo was so popular that those LAN parties, they happened everywhere.
Like I said, I was in my dorm in college. There were four guys who had Xboxes. There was a lounge that was broken into two rooms. Each room had a TV, and so we brought down two more TVs. It was cool because you had two teams each in their own room, but the door opened so we could yell at each other. Still, every Friday night we did that. It was a blast.
It's interesting because if Halo 1 LAN wasn't so popular, I don't think Xbox Live would have happened as soon as it did.
No,
like that's what pushed it was basically to have. Online support for Halo 2. And here we are now, if you know, basically everything's online.
Hey, here's a really quick aside. Remember when the Xbox One launched with just an Ethernet port and it was like, where's the dial up modem? This will never fly.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. God.
Not that long ago.
What a Fusion Frenzy. What the fuck? And that's also, you start, PlayStation 2 had Guitar Hero 1, don't forget.
PlayStation 1 had Guitar Freaks.
Yeah, well, you had to import that shit.
And we did.
But, so that's where you're getting that. And then, and really, when you think about the next generation, that's kind of what I think of as a lot of the band stuff, huh?
That was 360 PS3.
Yeah, that kind of overtook. I mean, then you had, like, your racing and your fighting games, but really a lot of that.
Anyway, yeah, so for, what gen is that? Gen 5 or whatever?
I don't even know.
I don't know. Halo, for me, would be my pick.
Well, probably Smash Bros. Melee. I mean,
fair enough.
If not that, then probably Double Dash. Well, we played a lot of Soul Calibur 2 with my friends, actually, too. Mm-hmm. But I liked Halo, but yeah, don't get me wrong. But I played a lot of those GameCube games. I liked the GameCube a lot. The GameCube to me is just a better Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
There aren't many games that were just on the 64 that just didn't have a better version on the GameCube.
Except for Star Fox.
Except for Star Fox and, like, maybe Mario 64 is better than Sunshine. Sunshine's still fine.
I love Sunshine, so.
But I mean, I'll take Double Dash over Mario Kart 64.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take
Melee over Smash.
I'll take Wind Waker over Ocarina of Time. Hell, I'll take 007 Agent Under Fire over GoldenEye. That was a fun game. Nobody's like, where's the HD remake of Agent Under Fire? I don't know why not. It was better.
I don't know how you remember that game.
It was fine. It was like a combat pursuit with gadgets, and it didn't look like shit.
Agent Under Fire. I didn't even know that existed.
And the sequel, Nightfire. Remember the sequel?
When did you play it?
Oh, I played it. I beat it.
You beat 007 Nightfire?
Yeah! Million times better than GoldenEye. No one cares. No, let's remake GoldenEye and fucking give GoldenEye a... Remember they made a sequel to GoldenEye? What was that? Everybody's like, nobody knows who has the rights to GoldenEye. They're all tripping over each other's balls to capitalize on it. And it's awful. It's just so bad. I just... God. I didn't play that Corvus Sauce game, but it was probably better too. Jesus.
Oh, man.
All right. But...
So then we get to the 360, PS3, and Wii era.
Wii Sports!
Oh, sure. I mean, you can't deny the power of Wii Sports.
The problem was, nothing else quite brought everyone together as much as that, huh?
No.
I mean, it was like Mario... New Super Mario Brothers Wii was kind of exciting at the time. It was like, co-op Mario, this is crazy. Then you're like, it's kind of harder to do it this way. Everyone else leave. I'm going to play it by myself.
Yeah. Well, even like, I mean, Wii Sports Resort came out, and I think that game proved that the only reason people played Wii Sports in the first place is because it came with the system.
Well, I mean, it was popular, but it's just, it's hard to like
put much that metric in. Wii Play was on the Wii NPDs Play. Because it came with a controller.
Yeah, it came with a controller. And then like, remember Wii Music? That's a big Nintendo bomb, man.
Oh, me and
Shiggy was behind that. He was
so proud of it.
And it was just awful.
He talked like it wasn't, you were...
They had to know.
...carrying to the music. Like, yeah.
They had to know, it just didn't work. But so it's kind of like a weirder time. It's like, again, you have like those Nintendo multiplayer, like, franchises now. You know, Smash Brothers or Mario Kart. Mario Party still going on, like, ridiculous. But, I mean... Besides that, like, Xbox 360, I liked that You Don't Know Jack they made for it a lot.
Yeah, that was good.
PlayStation 3? You know,
well, again...
I liked PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale.
I'd have to just give it to Rock Band, I think. I mean, think of it in its prime.
Sure.
We haven't had
parties
for a game like that since. Where, like, literally 10 people would come over, and we'd play Rock Band until all hours of the night.
And so, you know what probably my favorite couch co-op game of this generation is? That isn't just, like, a fighting game or a racing game.
Diablo 3.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Diablo Incredible 3 was game. So much fun. I'd much rather play it that way than, like, by myself clicking on things. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, it was almost, going back to the beginning, it was, like, just, like, new Gauntlet in, like, this weird way.
Yeah, and who saw that coming? Who would have ever so thought that
would be Yeah, good. I mean, I play through it with you. I play through it with three other friends, four people just going. It's so much fun that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Brilliant game.
And the fact that, like, they can even have everyone, like, managing their inventory kind of on the fly, they nailed
version. They really figured that out.
So that was impressive. So, yeah. So, do you have, like, an overall favorite couch co-op game? I mean, mine will be some form of Smash Brothers.
It's probably Halo.
Yeah, Halo was a big deal at the time.
Because then not only did you have the four-player split-screen multiplayer, but the two-player split-screen co-op was awesome, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess for 360, we should mention Gears.
Gears was fun.
That worked good.
I mean, you started getting a lot of games that just kind of had, like, a co-op campaign version of the single.
Maybe better played online because you got
But Gears worked better than a lot of them because, for one thing, it, like, had the other character there for it and stuff. Mm-hmm. It never worked quite as well as Gears 1 for some reason.
Gears 2 is fine. I think Gears 3, you know, when you're trying to make it four-player, I mean, again, it's like, why are these other
it's two weird. It's like, I now? Played all those games, so and I know that, like, 2 and 3 must have been better, but in my mind, 1 was the best one. That was the one I liked playing the
probably
most.
Probably was.
I liked 1.
Probably was.
All right. So, how about that Rogue One trailer? I think it looks pretty cool. It's crazy seeing, like, original series timeline-y stuff.
It's so fun. It's making this movie was so smart because it's fan servicey, but it's not, you can be like, you just put stormtroopers in for the fans. Like, no, well, that's when this movie's set. Right. Like, there's stormtroopers, you know?
It's like weird seeing Mon Mothma.
Well, that actress...
is the one who played her in the deleted scenes in Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, huh? So good for her for sticking around.
Right? It's like, yeah, why not? She looks like her.
She looks exactly like
her. Well, it's weird because she'll have a bigger part in this than she did in Return of the Jedi. Oh, yeah. But that's like...
It's awesome.
But that's kind of the interesting thing. It's like, who else is going to show up? Because, like, so many of these people can't.
I mean, there's that guy in white. Some people think he might be a younger Tarkin. I don't think so.
Tarkin was already pretty old. I mean, this isn't that much... That can't be Tarkin.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
But, I mean, there's all these people kind of floating around. I mean, Darth Vader's got to be somewhere.
What I love is there are a lot of cool influences from Dark Forces.
Yeah, there's like Dark
Trooper. Well, because the story of the original Dark Forces was stealing the Death Star plans, which is what this movie is. A lot of people kind of are hoping, not necessarily they think, but they hope. There's a character who, he just gets a quick shot. He's kind of like standing off in a shadow with his arms crossed. Kind of looks like Kyle Katarn.
I'll tell you what, I would...
If they just say, yeah, this is Kyle Katarn, I'd be like, yeah!
Like, why not?
Sure. Again, get those nerds on your side, because why not?
If there's like...
But yeah, seeing like the Dark Stormtroopers, I was like, oh my god, it's Dark Forces, this is great!
All right, if you could have three Expanded Universe characters become canon...
Kyle Katarn.
And keep in mind that the pilot from Star Trek is already canon, thank god.
Yes, that's Rex.
he was in Rebels.
Yes.
So Kyle Katarn.
Not Mara Jade, who is in canon anyway, we know.
Yeah.
Like, she wasn't in Force Awakens.
I feel like Mara Jade was just, like, always in so many things that people accepted her. Did anyone, like, really like her?
Or, I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, I didn't read a ton of Extended Universe stuff.
Oh, it's not even about, I mean, HK-47.
Yes.
And Revan, yeah, I would say.
Revan doesn't make a ton of sense, but maybe.
Revan is just so, his story is so cool.
It is a good story.
I can't even remember back when some people thought Kylo Ren was Revan.
That's true. That's funny. But how good is that shot at the end of the trailer where they're running towards the four AT-ATs, stomping through, like, a tropical marsh? Just so good. In fact, they released what, like, kind of the boxes for the toys are going to look like.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the AT-ATs are, like, in that artwork. So, which means LEGO AT-AT set.
Were you
very excited?
I was a little surprised by Troy just because it was very... singularly focus on that one character and
Jin,
and they kind of had set this up as like an ensemble film. I wonder if they're like kind of not misleading us. I wonder if it actually is really starring her or if it is more of an ensemble film than that trailer made out to be. I don't know. I'm not saying I care one way or the other, but I thought it was interesting.
Well, it could be like kind of like an Ocean's 11 kind of thing where there's the ensemble, but it's like more about like what these one or two characters really.
Well, sure. But yeah, it's cool.
Also, I'm pretty sure that droid that is following them around a couple shots is Alan Tudyk.
Oh, that'd be funny. Yeah, because he is in it. Oh, cool.
Yeah, because we know he plays a mocap character.
Right.
So that makes sense. Making it the second robot he's played.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of some of the fan theories already?
Let's see. People are trying to figure out who's the cloaked figure kneeling before what is either a hologram tube or a back-to-tank tube that's being flanked by the two royal guards.
It's got to be something to do with Palpatine, or else the royal guards wouldn't be there.
Right, but and people are wondering this guy in the cloak. Is it Vader? Is it someone else?
I think it might be Vader, just without his helmet on, and he's just kind of casualing it
up. He has the helmet, but I think he has that cape on for some reason, like a hood.
I mean, can't be some other guy, right? That's like one... I'll tell you what, yeah, that's one thing that the Extended Universe did a lot that I didn't mind. It's like, there's like this other bad guy, Sith person we just didn't talk about before. And like, the things are kind of doing that. Like, they have these Inquisitor characters, whatever they're called. Rebels. Sure, in the comics, but whatever.
Let's see, what are some
and the other one that, well, that character, what's her name, Ren, you said?
Jin,
it might be Rey's mother. Mom.
I don't think they're going to do that. I think
it starts getting a little Muppet Baby.
I feel like they said at some point that they want the episode films to still stand on their own. Like, you're not going to, like, miss something in Episode 8 if you didn't see Rogue One.
Right, but do you still maybe expect there to be some kind of tie into this new trilogy here? Maybe Poe Dameron's parents, who we've seen in the comics already. Right. We know that they fought with, like...
they were at the Battle of Endor.
They're in Rebel Fleet. So there might be something cute like that. I mean, I'm okay with a couple cute things. I just don't want to get obnoxious.
Right.
You know. But yeah, it looks pretty cool. I think it's cool that it's like as much of a boys thing as Star Wars was. This is like this looks like this is gonna be like the second one. It's just here's the main characters of a girl again.
All for it. I love it.
I love the jokes. Can't wait. People are like, I can't wait to not buy her action figure that won't be on sale.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Brother.
That's cool, especially now I have three nieces. Like, I like that. Like, yeah, that's cool.
I got three daughters. Yeah, I love it. Guess who they're going to be for Halloween?
Oh, they can be both of them.
I know. It's great. It's fantastic.
That's cute.
Guess what? One, they even have, like, the right hair color and everything. Like, it's going to be great. Yeah. It's going to be great. I'm super stoked.
Yeah, I mean, people are always going to be able to, there's always some people like, oh, this is going to be a lot of Star Wars. I'm still so excited about it right now. It's great.
This is just so fun because we've never had this before. Like, Episode 7 was like, you know, like, in and of itself, amazing. Like, that's happening incredible. This is like the first time we're getting like this truly big spin-off Star Wars thing. I just think that's super rad.
All right. Do you think Wedge Antilles shows up?
No.
Biggs Darklighter? Biggs, no. Biggs couldn't because he was on Tatooine. He was on Tatooine with Luke for a while.
Well, no, he graduated the Imperial Academy, came back in the deleted scene.
Oh, you're right.
Comes back to Tatooine to tell Luke he's defecting to the Rebels.
I would like to see more Biggs.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind if Biggs was in it.
I mean, he could be in, I mean, this might be the thing that gets him to decide to defect.
And here's my other question. Do you think all these characters die, or do you think they just kind of go away and they don't really address the fact that they're not
around? I'm sure someone will die.
Someone's gonna go.
Multiple people will probably die, but yeah, they'll probably just go other places.
Like, and then they left.
Right? They went back to their home planet. It's also, how good is the music at the end of the trailer with the Force theme on top of the Imperial March? It's funny how
we never really heard that.
Yeah, like, how cool. And it works, like, musically.
Who's doing the music?
I don't know, but it is not gonna be John Williams.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that'll be weird too.
I hope it's
Giacchino.
If anyone else is gonna do it, like, don't make it like it can't be like a Hans Zimmer type.
Does Gareth Edwards like have a guy he likes to work with? I wonder.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I would like either Michael Giacchino or John Powell, the Kung Fu Panda, Dragon guy. Although Hans Zimmer, I think, might work on Kung Fu Panda even more than John Powell does. But I don't know. Hans Zimmer sometimes is okay, but sometimes he's doing stuff I don't like what he does for the superhero movies he does, which apparently he's done with.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. So,
Star Wars! All right,
so, how's Quantum Break? Because people are...
Wait, real quick, before we leave Star Wars. Okay. I read the first issue of the Poe Dameron comic that came out.
I figured you would have. Was it good?
It's rad. It's really good. Cool. It's the story of him trying to find Lor San Tekka.
Right.
And he has the help of Black Squadron, which includes some of the characters we saw at the end of Force Awakens, like Snap Wexley. The guy played by the dude who's like J.J. Abrams' best friend.
The kind of huskier guy.
Yeah. Like, he's in it and stuff like that. It's really good.
Cool. All right.
Quantum Break.
Because, like, some people, it's not...
It's very divisive. A lot of people love it.
It's not like one of those things that everybody's like, oh, it's like a higher 7. It's like some people think it's a 9, some people think it's like a 6.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. I played through an act and a half. So, which means I've seen an episode of the TV show as well. That's caused a point of contention for a lot of people, because they're like you play the game, the graphics are incredible, like, really good looking game, but then, like, when you get to, like, the live action cutscene, you're reminded of how still far away we are from looking like reality. But I think it works. The structure,
like, is it like playing Jedi Knight?
No. The way it works is, so you, and again, I'm not super far yet, but, you know, you play through the act as your main character. You pretty quickly unlock all your time powers. And the time powers are super fun. Two examples. The one's like a time dash. And if you knock, you like rush into someone, you knock them over. Then if you immediately go to aim, you slow down time. So you like dash into a guy, knock him into the air, slow down time, headshot him, and then dash away. Like, that's super cool.
Yeah.
The other one's like a time bubble. Like that grenade in Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
So anything in the bubble is stopped. So there's like, just like on Uncharted, there's like these guys in super heavy armor who have a shotgun who just come relentlessly marching toward you.
Mm.
Time stop them, pull out your shotgun, fire off all 6 rounds, so when the bubble collapses, it's like he gets shot by 6 shotguns at once. So that's cool.
Time manipulation is awesome. Is like the story good?
I like it.
That seems to be the complaint I hear.
It's like a sci-fi, like, a lot of time
people,
travel.
Like, not many people say they don't like the gameplay, but like some people just say the story like is just dumb.
I have no problem with it. So the way it transitions to the TV show, I don't know if it does this every time. Once I kind of hit like the end of the act, playing as the main character, you jump into the role of the villain, and that's where you get to a time junction. The villain also is, like, unstuck from time, and he could see better into the future. So you basically are presented with, like, a choice. And you can see, like, what are going to be the two outcomes of that choice, and it's like, which one do you want to do? Then it goes to the TV show, and the TV show is affected by all the choices you've been making throughout the game.
Hmm.
But it focuses more on the villains of the story. The people working for the evil organization that's called Monarch.
Of course.
So
Monarch, that sounds nice and friendly.
Yeah, right? I like it. The guy who's kind of like the main character of that, I think he's really cool. I'm enjoying the whole thing.
That's good.
I think a lot of people who complain about the gameplay, they're trying to play it like The Division.
What do you mean? Like super cover-based?
Yeah, and like you can take cover, but...
Not being aggressive enough, maybe?
Like, play it like you would play Uncharted. Like, yeah, you can kind of take cover, but you really need to be moving around.
Yeah,
you know?
In fact, I think it plays a lot like Uncharted in a lot of ways. Right, yeah.
It's a game I want to try, but I'm probably not going to try immediately. I got so many things kind of on my plate.
I think it's very good. I like it a lot. Like I said,
I mean, time manipulation is always fun.
It looks incredible on the Xbox. Remember, it really does.
Remember when we thought Blinks was going to be a big thing just because it was going to have time manipulation?
This fulfills a lot of those promises. It does do some environmental stuff where, you know, there's nothing complicated, but like you need, like this thing fell and now you need to get across, so you could rewind time on it, then hit it with a time bubble.
What is the ultimate time manipulation game?
Oh, Day of the Tentacle.
Oh.
Yeah, easy answer.
Well, I didn't think of that. But there's two I was thinking was Sands of Time, Prince of Persia, and Braid. I might say Braid.
Nah,
Day of the Tentacle I might like more, but not necessarily because of, I don't know.
Day of the Tentacle. All day, every day.
Day of the Tentacle has some of the funniest puzzles ever. All right, then. So I got my new computer. I was talking about in the intro. We play some Overwatch competitive.
Yeah, mode, which just came out this week,
which is pretty cool. It is neat because even though it's just like we have ranks now, people do legitimately kind of try harder to like communicate.
Like people are actually on voice chat saying, "Okay, like I'm
who are we gonna be?
Which tank do you want me to be?" Right. It's like,
and
oh, wow.
And it's good that you have to be at least level 25 because that gives you enough time where you should know enough characters. And again, this is like, it's not like a fighting game or a MOBA to a degree, but even MOBA is the same case where you shouldn't just like have your character.
Yeah, you need to be
very flexible. Right.
Yeah.
You need to, and it's not even just like you can't even just have your one at support and your one defense. Like you should know kind of all the characters. Like maybe you're not so good of a sniper. Okay. But you should have your bases kind of covered so you can fill a role and then switch roles as it's going on. Mm-hmm. That's the important thing too. And again, now that I'm really deep in this game, I really appreciate that it's not free to play, that you're not buying heroes, that you have them all, because you do need to have them all. You need a Switch. That's just the way the game's kind of built. But yeah, it was just a lot of fun playing that together. And it's fun already, because like me, you, and our friend Dave, we're already playing a lot. Chris, our other brother, should be getting into it. Like, I'm telling you, I'm all in on Overwatch. Mm-hmm. I am in on Overwatch.
It's fun to play.
More than I've been
in. The fiction is super fun.
Right.
The design is good. Like, everything about that game is firing on all cylinders.
I'm going to be playing a lot of Overwatch. Mm-hmm. This is, like, my game right now. It's just so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love everything about it. All right. Anything else you want to talk about?
No.
I got a copy of Dark Souls 3. I haven't started it. I never played really any of the Dark Souls that much.
Yeah, you just played Bloodborne.
I beat Bloodborne. I liked
Dark Souls 3 takes a lot of Bloodborne influence.
That's fine. Like, what part of my... It's not that I didn't like Bloodborne. I like Bloodborne a lot, but I still don't, like, bow down to the altar of it in a way that, like... It seems like the people who like those games really like those games, you know?
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like I'm not one of them, but, like, I still enjoy them. It's just, I don't know. But I mean, that's what I'm sure at some point I'll give it a try. All right, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and all that jazz. Be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store. You can find all of our old shows, all 400 or so of them. Leave us a review. And we'll be back next week with something else fun to talk about. Goodbye.
Bye.